Welcome to this unique audio program, a live recorded roundtable discussion of Dan Kennedy's Platinum Inner Circle on their most valuable advertising, marketing, sales, and financial success strategies. Dan Kennedy's Platinum Inner Circle has 15 members, hand-picked by Dan. Platinum members each pay $7,200 in yearly dues, attend up to 4 closed-door mastermind meetings, and frequently share information with each other. Each member is involved in the marketing of information products and services to very different markets, each a reigning expert on marketing in his respective field. You'll hear each member briefly introduce themselves and describe their businesses at the very start of the program. Members' information can also be found in the Million Dollar Rolodex provided annually to all Kennedy Inner Circle members and online in the Gold Members section of Dan's website at www.dankennedy.com. Your host and moderator on these tapes, Dan Kennedy, is a popular author and speaker, addressing over 200,000 people a year in each of the past 10 years. And frequently appearing on programs with former U.S. presidents and world leaders, including George Bush, Gerald Ford, Mikhail Gorbachev, Margaret Thatcher, and General Colin Powell, broadcasters Larry King and Paul Harvey, Olympic and professional athletes and coaches like Mary Lou Retton, Bonnie Blair, Peyton Manning, and Coach Lou Holst, even entertainers like Johnny Cash, Naomi Judd, and Bill Cosby, as well as top business speakers Zig Ziglar, Tommy Hopkins, Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, and Peter Lowe. Dan has also been a featured guest speaker at many of these Platinum members' marketing boot camps in their specialized fields, and he's hosted his own multi-day marketing and money-making super conference for 9 consecutive years. Dan is the author of 8 business books simultaneously available in bookstores or at Amazon.com, including How to Make Millions with Your Ideas and No Rules. In addition, he has a busy consulting and direct response copywriting practice. Each of the Platinum members participating in this roundtable is a consultant and coach to thousands, in a few cases, tens of thousands, of entrepreneurs and business owners, each a highly respected expert and advisor. You'll want to listen to these tapes repeatedly to catch every idea and strategy. These tapes are virtually unedited. They're raw, if you will. And these members do spend quite a bit of time together, so there's an occasional locker room reference or an inside joke. However, we judged it best to let you eavesdrop on this entire day's closed-door meeting of the minds without censorship, to approximate actually being there as closely as possible. So now, let's join the meeting as it's just getting started.
Each person a quick download on who you are, what your business is like. You don't have to move it. What you do, so everybody gets acquainted with our platform. Ron, you go first.
All right. My name is Ron LeBrand, and I'm in the real estate business. I teach people how to buy and sell houses throughout North America. I've been at that now for about 18 years. Started doing it myself, developed systems over the years to make it easy to do the things that I was so successful at doing in the process of buying and selling over 1,300 single-family houses during that process, which I still do to today. And that business turned into an information marketing business about in the late 80s, I guess, when I started teaching other people what I had learned. And I think the first thing I did was create a seminar that I charged $10 for. And that turned into another seminar and another seminar. Then I wrote a course, and then I wrote a book, and I found out that selling the information that I had spent so many years in the school of hard knocks getting bloodied up to learn was a lot of fun. And then I also quickly figured out that it was quite profitable. So my focus over the years turned from actually doing what I was teaching to teaching what I had been doing and still do. And that turned into a rather large company, small to some standards, but multi-million-dollar company that does nothing but sell the information that I have created and systemized over the past several years. We now have somewhere, I think, 14 different boot camps that we offer, as well as a series of products, and they encompass the whole world of being a real estate entrepreneur. We provide hands-on training and back-end support that lasts a year and beyond, and have a national convention and a retreat and various other things that not only get our people in the business, but keep them in it, keep them trained, keep them excited, and let them associate with other people like themselves who are trying to learn and grow and become financially independent.
I've spoken at your convention and a couple of your boot camps, and essentially you teach real estate entrepreneurs how to use direct response marketing, how to attract buyers and sellers without doing manual labor.
Yes, I do. In fact, we have a three-day event coming up shortly. Actually, we do it three times a year that you've spoken at that we call Guerrilla Marketing for Real Estate Entrepreneurs that is focused on nothing but getting sellers to call these folks so they have a constant supply of business. And in fact, next month we got a new event called Selling Houses Fast where I do the other end of the continuum. I will focus for 2 days on nothing but how to sell properties, and they all revolve around not only direct response but other forms of marketing that I've learned from you over the years and implemented and pass on to others, and you've been a big part of that education.
Terrific. TJ?
Okay, I'm TJ Rohleder, and my wife Eileen and I own a company called More Incorporated. She runs the company, and she's the president and the CEO, and I do the marketing. Our story is real simple. Had a little carpet cleaning business back in 1985. It was just me, a beat-up van. It was just me and a beat-up van and some piece of crap equipment, but at least I was self-employed. I didn't pay taxes.
You're on tape here.
No, we've gotten right with the IRS.
We love the IRS.
And anyway, I was an opportunity junkie. I was like one of these guys who is addicted to gambling programs. Only instead of gambling programs, these are money-making programs, which are very similar. And I was on all these crazy mailing lists for these wild plans, and Eileen had never seen anything like it. Her and I started dating in 88 or 87, and I was spending every last dollar on these crazy, wild, money-making, get-rich-quick, for-doing-nothing plans. And I was broke all the time. And, it was a struggle. But I always believed that we could make it. Anyway, to make a long story short, there was a guy who had a magazine. He's out of business now. And he was looking for new advertisers. So he ran this ad, "Let Me Help You Become a Millionaire." That was the headline. And he was looking for new people to advertise in his magazine. And Eileen and I, out of all these crazy wild plans that we had bought and wasted our money on, we actually found something that worked for us a little bit. And so we wrote a little booklet about it, and we ran a $300 ad in his magazine. And, just by pyramiding our profits and doing a lot of good things right, first of all, I wanted to... we bought the ad first, and then we tried to come up with something to, say in the ad. And I had this wild, crazy idea for selling some piece of garbage that would have never worked, and Eileen talked me out of it. Anyway, we did $10 million in our first 4 years. So just pyramiding our, one ad buys two ads buys four by eight. Then we got into direct mail, and we've done very well just serving the market that we used. We used to be opportunity junkies. And now we serve the market of people who are habitually buying all the plans. We're trying to be one of the best companies in our market. And
well, for example, one of your programs, you were ahead of today's curve. When did you do the how to make however much money with your answering machine?
That was in September of 88.
1988. And really what you were teaching in that program is all the stuff that all marketers today do with voicemail and recorded messages,
right,
and all that.
Right.
You guys were way ahead of the curve.
Right.
Essentially teaching people to do it with 500 answering machines hooked together in their basement.
Right.
And today technology enables us to do those kind of things without that much aggravation. Okay. Craig?
My name is Craig Ford, and I'm in the information marketing business, for lack of any other word. I publish a program called Three Steps to Six Figures, which is specifically for the real estate industry, although I have a few mortgage lenders and some commercial brokers as well. And it's really a business building course and marketing toolkit for agents learning how to build their practices, generate referral business, and get a consistent, almost ever-growing type of income in this industry.
Okay. That's all. Okay. That was concise. That makes up for Ron. Go.
Hello, I'm Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing, and what I am is a result of a guy that was struggling with a carpet cleaning business in early 1990 and learned direct response marketing first through reading a Gary Halpert newsletter, which eventually led to me discovering who Dan Kennedy was, and from that point becoming just really involved and interested in the subject of direct response marketing, because I realized that if there's any part of your business that you should and could systemize, it was the marketing process. And since marketing is the most important part of bringing in money, because if you don't have any money, you can't do anything else right. And so marketing is the most important thing. I just really studied that subject because I needed to make my business work, because I was unemployable. I didn't want to work for anyone, and I had to figure out how to make my business work. So.
And you're still unemployable.
Yes.
So it's a darn good thing.
I'm definitely more unemployable now than I would ever be. So I could not imagine ever working for somebody. So I needed to figure out how to make my business work. And so I turned around a struggling family carpet cleaning business using good marketing principles. And along the way, I figured that, you know, other people that were in the same position as me could use the tools and these strategies that I developed. So I eventually started studying a lot of mail order companies, a lot of people that made their living putting words on paper, and those are the best people to learn marketing from, because they don't have the advantages of being face-to-face in most cases. And so I started studying people that sold things through the mail and really got involved in copywriting and the power of putting words on paper. And so I packaged up all my how-to strategies that I used to turn my cleaning business around, and I became the largest marketing guy in the world to that industry, and which eventually led into licensing of my materials and tapes into 10 other industries at this point, and now it's all over the world. And my core businesses are selling how-to kits, publishing a couple newsletters, doing a Tape of the Month club with some of the world's brightest business people. I have a coaching program and do licensing and stuff. It's a great business, so that's what I do.
All righty.
My name is Ron Ipack. I'm the president of the Cineron Marketing Group, and like a lot of the other guys here, I am an information marketer. I specialize in the niche of the auto repair and auto glass and windshield repair markets. Like Joe, I initially started with a business that was pretty much struggling. I was a windshield repairman, and found out that it was tough running my business without knowing the marketing end of it. So I really started learning more and more marketing, discovered that I had a lot of knowledge that a lot of other people wanted. A lot of people were very good at doing the work, but they needed to know how to get customers in the door. So that's when I developed the packages that right now, again, it's auto glass and auto repair that I primarily market my systems to.
I meant to be asking this, but I want to give people an idea of reach. Now, like how many auto repair shop owners and windshield guys like you were and so forth so far have, like, you touched through your course?
Currently, I have over 1,300 clients that use my course.
And, Joe, your number?
Well, I currently have over 3,200 members.
Okay.
In real estate, we currently have over almost 3,800.
And on your email list, your newsletter, your zine goes to?
Yeah, we have an opt-in email list that we've got almost 7,000.
Okay.
You guys? We're bringing in 40,000 new customers a year.
Okay.
I have different levels of customers, high end and low end, and altogether there are somewhere between 50 and 70,000. I don't really know the exact number.
Okay. And let's see. So far of the group, you're the only one that we now see on late night television. In between the slicer dicer and the no-run pantyhose.
I don't stay up late enough to watch that show.
Hi, my name is John Rubio. I'm the president of Elite Lawyers Practice Development Group. My primary business is providing practice development tools and strategies and one-on-one consulting to the legal profession. In whole, my primary objective is to help the legal professional decrease the stress in running a busy practice and increase profitability by offering strategies and tools. I've been consulting one-on-one with them since 1994. And now I package a whole entire system. I've been marketing a little less than a year right now, and I have about 180 active members.
Okay. Chauncey?
Name's Chauncey Hutter. I'm in the electronic filing tax preparation business. Similar to what a lot of people might know as an H&R Block, we compete with them on the retail level. A couple years back, started with my father's small two-room tax office with a couple of employees, and today we've got about 15 offices, about 220-some employees, and we'll probably prepare, I'm not sure, between 22,000 25,000 tax returns this year. We're learning all these things from doing direct response in an industry which does very little or really knows nothing about direct response. That's helped us out a lot. And so basically I also became a consultant to the tax preparation electronic filing industry, and only sold a little over 1,000 kits to that market, a lot of other smaller books and tapes and videos. But basically, my consulting practice over the last 3 years just basically caters to the electronic filing tax preparation small mom-and-pop owner, and I just basically teach them how-to information through newsletters and boot camps and gold memberships and regular kits and same stuff.
You got how many clients?
A little over 1,000 members.
And a claim to fame regarding the H&R Block office, we can say it on these tapes, even though they won't let you say it in an ad anymore.
We just shut down some H&R Block's offices in some cities where we had offices, and they got. So I started using that as a headline a few years ago, and they didn't like it, I guess. And to make a long story short, we stopped using their name, but through just good marketing and running a tax office. You can put brand name out of business in a small community, and just in a few tax seasons. So that was a good thing.
Michael?
My name is Michael Kimball. I have a couple of businesses. They're both information publishing and marketing businesses. One is Group M Marketing. We have products that appeal to small business owners, entrepreneurs, opportunity seekers. And with Group M, one of my specialties is licensing a lot of the products that we offer to other entrepreneurs so they can sell it to their customers. The second company is Kimball & Kennedy Publishing, where I publish and market Dan Kennedy's products. And for more information about both of these companies, you can go to www.groupmm.com, or you can go to www.dankennedyproducts.com.
Just with a credit card in hand.
While you're on the internet, you
can. We'll get them. Yes. Reed?
Let's see, my name's Reed Poisington, and I'm in the home loan business. I've been in that since 1984. And I've created a couple of, I would say, pretty large firms. At one point, we were doing, commercials in 22 states and creating 600 home loan apps per day. Now I've created a kit that is how to be a broker, how to create clients, and how to make more. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. Bill?
Hi, my name is Bill Glazer. My niche is retail. I own two of my own men's specialty stores in Baltimore, Maryland, and I also have retail clients that I consult with one-on-one, and about 7 months ago I started to market a information product to mentor retailers throughout the United States and Canada, which I sort of teach retailers how to get more customers, but more importantly is how to get their existing previous and present past customers back and how then to sell them more.
All right.
My name is Jeff Gardner. I'm the owner of Success Achievement Publishing. I've been in the opportunity market for a number of years and sold a lot of products, but the main product I sell now is a course on how to get free publicity. Until this meeting, I was just selling it to the opportunity market, but I got a million-dollar idea here, and I'm going to take it to a lot of different niches, and I know that's going to be very profitable. Currently, I have about 2,000 low-end customers and about 600 high-end customers for the course, but I figure with the information I've got here, that'll be about 10 times the next year.
So. All
righty. My name is Bob Willis. I'm a dentist. And my market is dentists. And basically what we do is we show dentists and their staffs how to significantly, effectively, more profitably make their business work better. We have them, show them how to have more time off, give higher care to their patients. We have a system that's easy to implement for doctor and staff. We didn't do any marketing to begin with because we did all word of mouth, and then once I started thinking about it and using some of Dan's three-step letter system, we were able to reach a whole lot of people that were looking for us that couldn't find us. We weren't really on the map. We're flying under the radar. So that's worked out pretty well for us, and our client base, basically we do coaching and consulting, and we do it to a limited number of groups a year since it's personalized. And we do probably have 100 clients per guy that in our group per year.
Now, what's your fee?
We do about a $36,000 to $38,000 base fee.
Okay. Jim?
I'm Jim Fleck, and I briefly, I used to be a consultant, and I guess in some ways I still am, although...
You know, if you're working off notes for this, this is, we shot a commercial once with Ernie Borgnine, mm-hmm. and you had to have a cue card for Ernie to say hello.
You said prepare.
Okay.
He's ready. I'm afraid to read them. Well, I decided I didn't want to trade my hours for dollars, unless it was very high dollars, which, you know, I still do. I mean, when I was a consultant, my clients were AT&T, MCI, the U.S. government, the Canadian government, you know, very large companies, but I just grew to hate it. Just travel around the country, and when I started a family, being away from the family, it was just a big drag. So I looked for other ways to make money and fooled around and wasted an absolute fortune and money just doing a bunch of crap. And since I'd been good at marketing my consulting business through, I guess, work I really did with Dan through newsletter critiques and, you know, reading Abraham and Halbert and some of the other stuff that was out there, you know, which was all direct response marketing. And, you know, doing it as a consultant in some industries, it's just, you're the only one doing it. Got some new ideas to build that after these last few days we've spent together. We're now doing the same thing in the plumbing industry with plumbing companies, and we're just getting that rolling, and now we're teaching other people to do what we do in their industries. So I've got a couple of clients that basically are trying to build information businesses in their niches. And, you know, I use the same exact marketing techniques to build these businesses that I teach them to do to get clients and customer service or customers in their service businesses.
Okay. So we'll start big, broad, and fuzzy. First question for the group is what separates good marketing from bad marketing? And if you're only going to be able to give somebody a couple of key points about separating good from bad and making sure that their marketing is effective, what do you zero in on? Who wants to go first? You? Go.
I'll take it. I would say accountable and trackable results. So if you run an ad, you should be able to track exactly to the dollar how many clients it produced for you.
And how many of us here are comments?
So it just to be accountable and trackable, right, yeah. To the dollar.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll share, since some of the people who might be listening to this tape are learning to grow businesses, I'll share with you something that I teach our people, which helps them immensely. And that whenever you're thinking of doing marketing or growing your business, you need to look at what I call the marketing triad, which is something actually I learned from you, Dan. And the marketing triad is, the first thing is selecting a market. And a market can be defined as people who have homogeneous something about them. They could all live in a certain area, or they could all be Republicans or all be Democrats or whatever it might be. But as you've always said, selection of the right market is 50% of your battle. And so if you're in a business, you need to select the right kind of market. Obviously, the right kind of market, the best kind of market you can select is your existing customers. The second type of part of the triad is getting the right message to that market and understanding that market, how they buy, what their desires are, the insomnia question about what they what keeps them up at night from excitement and what keeps them up at night from their problems, and crafting a message that is so irresistible, so compelling to them that they can't help but respond or take notice, and that message is about them. And then the third part of the marketing triad that I teach our people is what I would call the means or the medium in which you're going to reach those people, because you want to reach them and only them and eliminate waste circulation and eliminate a lot of costs that most people, when people do image advertising like in local newspapers or magazines, what happens is that they're not always hitting the market that they want to hit. And because of that, they're getting a lot of waste circulation. They're wasting money and paying to reach people that simply don't have any interest or are not applicable for their business. But that's the marketing triad. It's the right message, the right market, and the right medium. So anytime anyone's thinking of doing marketing, focusing on those three things will always help to get to increase your marketing results.
You know, Dan, to follow up on Craig's, as a dentist, I always look at the dental yellow pages every place I go, which is a lot. And I also look at heating and air ads. I look at carpet cleaning ads. I look at real estate ads. I look at all the yellow page ads. And what I've found is, almost without exception, every ad in there is trying to be everything to everybody. It's trying to have a big, broad coverage. It has no selected market to begin with, number one. The message is the one that the Yellow Page ad rep put together for them, which is always awful. And the mediums that they use, other than that, are Yellow Page and a few Valpak things that aren't worth beans. So I think, Craig, it really is not just for real estate. I think it's for every industry that's probably represented here from that type of a situation.
Well, you know, one of the things you've identified is that I find most people are very limited, or if you want to be harsh, lazy, about the number of media that they use or the number of means that they use for attracting customers. And like you say, most people sort of fall into using only one or two things. Sometimes it's either what they see everybody else in the business they got into doing, or it's whoever knocks on their door and to sell them advertising, and they're not very aggressive about reaching out and looking for all sorts of different things. I mean, you do menswear retailers. Most of the retailers, you know, how many different ways do you think they use to get a customer in the door versus the number of ways you use to get customers in or bring them back?
They use radio, TV, newspaper, and probably they spend most of their money on that and least of their money on actually going to their existing clients, for customers, and bringing them back to the store. And it really speaks to what Craig said, which is, you know, try to define your market and try to find those people that are predisposed to do business with you and market towards them, which in most cases is your existing customers. The real goal is in your own customers.
Can I add to that?
You wanted to weigh in. Yep.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of people listening to these tapes probably don't even have a product or a service yet and are looking for one. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making is trying to create or find a product that really has no market or has a very small market and make the marketing work around it. And just the opposite really ought to be what they do. Find something that people can't live without. They really turns them on. It's easy to sell, and then build a marketing campaign. So that's what I call guerrilla marketing. And in fact, I teach my students to quit fishing with bare hooks and start using gill nets and grenades. And if you find a product or service that's really, really in demand and the want is high, and then you attach the right kind of marketing, the kind we're talking about here, to it, it's just an absolute winner. I mean, it's a home run. It's hard to lose. Even when you try your best to screw it up, if those combinations are there.
it's a lot easier than doing the stupid stuff that most image marketers do and waste all their marketing budgets on. Well, why it doesn't work.
In fact, it's better. I try and get people to tell back to me to define their business based on who the market is that they serve rather than what it is that they sell. 2 years in a row, I spoke at the advertising. I won't be invited back, I guess. At the Advertising Specialty Institute National Convention, the guys that make embroidered caps,
I'm surprised they invited you the first time.
Imprinted pens, and they were pressed by. I'm surprised I got invited back the second time, but I'm sure I will not be invited back the third time. In fact, I got a couple of real nasty letters from people who didn't get it because. I would go around the room, do small breakout sessions. I would go around the room, what business are you in? And everybody defines that business. I said, well, we're in the advertising specialty business. Well, what does that mean? Well, we do caps, and we do cups, and we do pens. And what I said is, you got particularly their industry right now, because they're in trauma because of the Internet. I mean, you really can. There are sites you can go to and buy all that stuff and price shop 26 different manufacturers with the push of a button and all of that. And they're terrified by it, as they should be. And I said to them, you've got to get out of the commodity business. You can't be in a commodity business. You have to reinvent yourself and be in a different kind of business. And the nasty letter I got was essentially, Kennedy, you're an idiot. You obviously didn't do any preparation to even understand we're in a commodity business. And you can't tell us to get out of a commodity business. We're in a commodity business. And one woman managed to use up 12 pages telling me that. So she really didn't get it. But you know, but that's how most people do define their businesses, is they define their business based on the thing that they sell. Anybody else want one in?
No, I would mention that kind of following up with what you're saying is, in order for companies to get higher prices than their competitors, they need to develop an experience. And part of an experience that consumers can have is created through the marketing process. Because, you know, the reason that people buy based on price is they have no other thing to compare it to. And so what I teach, you know, my cleaners, which applies to every business out there, is that in order to differentiate yourself, you need to let the people that are going to actually give you money know the difference between you and everybody else. And that starts with good marketing, which actually does selling in advance. I really rely a lot on consumer awareness messages, which are 24-hour free recorded messages that educate consumers, consumer awareness guides to put education into print, and actually just letting the prospects and clients know the difference between you and everybody else. Because you know,
do you still have? Just pick right up where I interrupted you after you answer. But do you still have a sample consumer awareness message up online somewhere? Is there one anybody can call?
For the carpet cleaner
one? Yeah, just to hear a sample.
Yeah, I don't have the phone number right now. I'd have to actually look at our homepage phone book ad because I don't have it memorized. But in every major city in the United States, there's one of my phone book ads running. If you look under carpet cleaning in any major city, look for anyone that's running a 24-hour recorded message, and most likely that will be one of my.
Anybody else got one they know the number of in that category, a consumer awareness message? So we got to look at the yellow pages under your categories. Okay.
So what you're trying to say, Joe, is that you want to fly in under the radar and not look like everybody else's ad and first attract their attention and then deliver them the message.
Yeah, that's actually one way to do it. The main thing is that most people do one-step marketing. You know, you look at all different types of advertising. People are putting who they are, what they do, and their phone number, which I call name, rank, serial number. Or as opposed to good advertising, you can encompass all kinds of great information and messages that could drive people to recorded messages and other forms of gathering information. I mean, bottom line is the difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill is a message on the paper. And so whenever you are writing a ad or you are sending out a letter, it's what is the message that it says? Who is it targeted to? You know, message is one thing. Good marketing is one thing. But who are you targeting is another. You know, so many people have great products and services, but they have not identified who are they even trying to sell to. You know, it's like having a rifle and you don't know where you're shooting it at. You don't know what kind of bullets you're putting in the gun. And if you really understand who it is that is your market and your market focused, you know, you're so much further ahead than everybody else that's trying to sell something, because the typical business person, they don't have predictable, reliable systems. What they do is they just hope. And if you don't understand marketing and you don't focus on this area and learn it, then you're going to be running a business based on, you know, hope and seasonal. And
so you're saying spend your time and your budget finding the people who want your products and services and focus on those, preach to a starving crowd, and quit wasting all of your time and energy trying to find or deal with people who care less about your products or services.
Absolutely, which is exactly what you said.
Yeah, I mean, we're on this definition issue. I mean, you know, what I say all the time is the biggest marketing mistake most people make is marketing too big. Mm-hmm. Is they're in, wherever they are, they're a heating and air conditioning contractor in Tupelo, and they're trying to market to everybody in Tupelo. And they haven't got enough resources, time, money, or otherwise, to do that. So how do we break them of that? How do we get them and everybody? You have the same thing with clothing store owners. You have the same, every one of us has the same problem with the people that we counsel. How do we get them not to market so big?
Well, I teach the clients to, you know, talk about the heating and air. Focused marketing is a word I use all the time. It's already been explained by Craig and Joe and Ron. And Ron mentioned, too, for people that maybe don't have products or anything, for instance, the heating and air. You say, well, if you got a heating and air company in a community, everybody's in that community is my customer. Well, it's not true. There's people in apartment buildings that aren't going to be your customers. There's people in trailers that probably aren't going to be. There's maybe people in prisons, you know, that aren't going to be your customers. So
captive audience there.
Yeah. Well, you might try some other products you get them, but
just don't have any money. That's all.
You know, you got to focus it. And no matter what the product or service, you know, I tell them, if the minute you hear yourself saying, well, everybody wants this, or everybody ought to need this, lights, alarms, and bells should go off because you're on the wrong track. You know, if you think everybody needs your product because it's too big a market.
I'll add to that. I hope I'm not adding to what's already been said. But what I tell realtors, who, by the way, is an industry that's very much perceived like a commodity industry, I tell them, the problem I think they have is they market too wide and not deep enough. And I tell them to look at your business as a series of markets. One market might be a farming area of 500 or 1,000 homes, and another market might be expired listings, and another might be physical. But look, and you don't need to pick a lot of markets, you just need to work them deep. But the biggest market that most people overlook is the people who know them or know of them or who have done business with them in the past, because those are the ones most likely to do business with you in the future. The problem and mistake that most businesses make is that they ignore those people, and by ignoring them, they're ignoring the greatest source of revenue and the largest asset that they have in their business. So what I would tell people is stop thinking the world is your market. Start picking out which are the best markets you can market to, and then you have a budget to go after, and probably the best market would be your existing customers.
Craig, are you also talking about working a personal network?
I'm talking about working a personal network and that personal network would be defined as acquaintances, family, friends, but most importantly, those who have had the experience of doing business with you in the past.
Craig, you're a good example. You cater to realtors, and there's the best example I can think of the blind leading the blind. They all do the same thing. All their ads look alike, and that's what gives you your niche, is because you can teach them how to do it properly. Most realtors just open a paper and do exactly what everybody else is doing. They don't have a clue if it's working or not. And it's not just realtors. It's every business out there. They just duplicate what's already not working.
That's exactly right, and it's really a shame because they for some reason, it's like the sheep situation or the cattle situation. They just kind of follow one another. And I think someone said this on a coaching call one time. Someone said to me that what we do is it must be working for everybody else because everybody else is doing it. And that's a real misnomer. It's not working for those people.
It's working for the media that's collecting all the money.
The ad rep who's selling them all the space. So it's really important to, you know, to look at your business as a series of markets. And if you have a large budget, then you can market to more markets. But most people simply don't work their markets deep. And when I say deep, I mean they are not deepening and getting the close relationship that they need to have in order to create the continuing business that they need to create. So and the markets that are front-end markets, by being people who've never done business with you in the past, do require either a compelling message or some type of relationship in order to break through that trust barrier to do business with you one time. So once you get them through that and they're already done business with you, most agents and business owners just let them go by the wayside instead of capturing them and keeping them as part of the back end of their business.
I'd add one step to that, because you mentioned to the
clients that have done business with you before. And a technique that we've seen in the MLM business, when they start up someone up, they give them the memory jogger so they can go to their dentist, accountants. And I've had some small and medium clients that we've done that with them. And so they've taken themselves, their family members, and everybody that works for them, and have taken a memory jogger, and they've come up with 1,000, 1,500 names.
Yeah, we copied that exactly. You and I were talking about referrals the other morning, Bill, and I was saying that, and I like, if you don't mind, I'd like, when I finish, you to tell what you're doing now with your sales reps, including creating a referral right at point of sale and why. With chiropractors, for example, and again, that's where I stole the idea from. Is, I mean, you and I have it in common from the MLM business. Chiropractors often will have some kind of new patient orientation class, a spinal care class, whatever they call it. The smart ones make it mandatory. Most make it optional because they don't have the guts to fire the patient. But what we would teach them to do in that class, they have a group of patients and sometimes friends with them, is at a particular time they would hand out the who do you know form, which is right out of multi-level marketing, and they get a bunch of questions. Who do you know who complains constantly of headaches? Who do you know who does heavy lifting on the job? Who do you know who plays a lot of weekend sports? And I don't remember them all now, but we had like, I think, 21 questions. And they would ask them to jot down names of people that they knew. If they didn't have the phone number, if they didn't have their address, you know, and then they would go essentially say, I'm going to call you at home and get these addresses because we want to send an information packet out to everybody you've put on this list. We will note that it's because you're a patient and you thought it would be helpful to them. And, you know, they would collect. You know, some people wouldn't give them any. Some people give them one. Some people fill out every question and give them 21 names. But if you didn't jog the memory and all you did is ask for the referral, you hardly ever got any. So, you know, it's a real useful tool. It's a useful procedure. I'll tell my favorite name capture story in a second. Now, you're just starting to improve your referral program, Bill, in your stores, and I wanted to...
Yeah, well, here's our model, Tom. Basically, we realize that the second easiest customer to sell is the referral that walks into our store, only second to the previous customer. And what we realize that we need to incentivize our existing customers to be willing to refer them to us, their friends and family members. And we also have to give an incentive to the sales associate to also follow through on this. So the model is that we realize that the time that a customer is happiest with you is at the end of the sale. Right after he's paid for his merchandise, he's no longer threatened by the environment.
No matter what the price.
No matter what the price. He's real happy with it. He just made this purchase, and he's talked himself into the fact this was a wonderful purchase, and it's really going to better his life. He's just in love with you. So that's the time to ask them for the referral. The formula that we use is we just say to the customer that, you know, it's very expensive for us to advertise and to get new customers. So what we'd rather do is instead of giving it to some ad rep somewhere, we'd rather give that to you. So if you can please give us a name and phone number of one of your friends or family members, we'll give you a $25 gift certificate to the store when they come in and purchase something. In addition, we will also send to your friend and family member a $25 gift certificate in the mail. We'll call them up, so it's not going to bother them. We'll send them the mail, mention your name that we got, you know, that you suggested that we contact them. And when they can just come in, they also get a free offer for coming into the store. In addition to that, we also give our sales associates $5 for every one of these people, the new referrals that show up. So basically, we're spending $55 to get a new customer, which is a whole lot less money than the cost to spend to use radio or television to get a new customer into a retail establishment. And these people that come in are a lot easier to sell than the person that comes in off of the newspaper ad, because, you know, their good buddy already shops here and they already come in with a degree of confidence.
My favorite name capture story, and everybody has said it in a way, but sometimes it's always incredible to me how many businesses don't even have a list of their customers.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, or the businesses we go to as customers that nobody ever makes an attempt, you know, to capture our name, let alone referrals, but anybody's name.
And yet, it's if anybody's going to buy a business, by the way, that's like question number one. Not let's look at the balance sheet, not let's look at the income statement, let's look at the customer list. And if there's no good customer list, you don't want the business.
Dan, if I could just interject with that for a second. Also, another good tip is never get rid of a customer. Even if the guy doesn't buy from you for 10 years, keep him in your database because the same deal happens. If you sell your business, he's an asset.
That's right.
Never throw him out.
Well, and you shouldn't even really stop mailing. You should just decrease maybe mailings and then try and do things to bring them to life.